reconvene in another minute or two. Thanks.
First thing on the agenda for the afternoon, beginning with old business, is our budget update. And for that, we have Dr. Van Zandt.
Okay. We talked a fair amount about budget this morning, but a few more things. We're really doing, we're in good shape. The staff are being very mindful of making sure things that they put together for expenditures and pardon for authorizations are well advised and meted by the clients. As I mentioned earlier, we've had some extra funding that has been great. The ERA, the stimulus funds, ended at the end of September of 2011, and so we did fully expend all of the ERA funds, and now we've got the reallotment extra money, which I mentioned, and so all of that helps us to manage things so that we can do the, you know, provide the services that are needed, and also that we can do whatever extra kinds of things that we have been wanting to do. So those are the main things. I guess I'll ask Kathy, Bob, and Carlos if they think I should say anything else on budget that we've discussed lately. Anything I'm kind of forgetting in case I...
Just the Social Security reimbursement.
Yeah, I did talk about, thank you, Carlos, I did mention Social Security reimbursement earlier, and that's not money we can plan on every year because it varies a lot, but it was really a very good increase in that this last year. Anything else? Okay. I did want to mention one thing I neglected in my report, and thanks to Mr. Compton for reminding me. He actually checked to see if I received his letter, since I hadn't mentioned it. And I have received, but as I said, the last couple days when I would have been at my office putting together the various things for the report, that's something sitting on my desk. But the ACB of Nebraska sent the agency a letter. You'll recall from a previous meeting there was question about the funds of the transportation program that we had funded some time ago. They have, as of recently, I forget the exact date, Howard.
I believe it was November the 15th.
Thank you. The balance that was in that statewide transportation grant project has been now disseminated between the Omaha Share a Fare and the Lincoln Give a Lift programs. So that those funds are all now distributed to those two local programs. And so that grant funding project is closed. And I thank them very much for that letter, and I'm sorry I forgot to say that. And I guess I already talked about the Bilbo budget, so that's all I can think of unless you have some specific questions.
Questions? Budget questions?
Okay, none of the commissioners have questions, so I'm satisfied. We talked a lot about the budget this morning, so I think I got all my questions answered then. Let's see, the next item. Yes, NFB, I need more hands.
She is coming.
And Jamie is going to talk to us about the Newsline?
Yep. Awesome. In person, all right.
In person. We don't get Jamie in person very often.
I think she should be.
The chair over here.
Okay.
Yeah. And tell me when you got that
off. I've got it off.
Oh, this is my virtual podium.
That is
yep.
Your podium.
Your
okay.
And then if I
figure.
If you want to stand, you can stand behind the chair and lean against it.
Nah, I'd rather sit. I'm waiting.
Okay. I am Jamie Forbes, the NFB Newsline Coordinator for Nebraska. I sent my report to the commissioners earlier this week, so I'm just going to go ahead and do a couple of highlights if that's okay with everybody.
All right.
One-handed highlights. Here we go.
Sometimes those are the best kind.
In August, we started out with 1,521 subscribers. We added 4 subscribers in August. Subscribers read a total of 18,966 minutes of content, and the average call lasted 15.8 minutes. 46.8% of those calls were made through the local number, and the state newspapers were accessed 4,436 times, the TV listings 466 times, and the local channel 96 times. I had told you during the August report that the Target circulars were now available on Newsline, and they hope to have more circulars, including Walmart, starting the beginning of the year. So keep tuned to that and make sure and check out option 6 for those new circulars. September, we had 8 new members or 8 new subscribers, and the subscribers read 15,435 minutes. The calls lasted 14.23 minutes on average, and 38.92% of those were made through the local number. The state newspapers were accessed 4,108 times. TV listings 543, and the local channel 99 times. Okay, and then the local number that I've been speaking about, that helps cut down on the cost of Newsline. The cost of Newsline is free for subscribers, but for those who might have unlimited long distance through their cell phone or their home phone these days, which a lot of people do have those plans, we really encourage them to use that local number, which just it cuts down on that cost of providing the service to subscribers. Now, there is a new local number that Baltimore would like everyone to start using, since we don't technically have our own assigned local number in Nebraska. We had been using a number out of Chicago, but we're going to start using a new number that I'm going to start getting out to people and circulating. That old number is still active, but to be able to track things a little easier, they'd like us to use the new number, 646-600-6969. So
that's easy to remember.
Pretty easy number.
Say it one more time.
646-600-6969. And of course, you would access that the same way you would the 800 number. And for those who don't have little unlimited call plans and so forth, please continue to use that toll-free number, because we want you to enjoy the service. Mm-hmm. The toll-free number is 888-882-1629. So 888-882-1629. Okay, moving on to October, we added 10 new subscribers in October, and subscribers read 19,773 minutes. The average call lasted 12.49 minutes, and 43.76% of those calls were made on the local number. The state newspapers were accessed 4,702 times, the TV listings 457 times, and the local channel 211 times. Alright, and then November... Oh, sorry, I was going to make a little comment here.
Go ahead.
Okay. With the local channel, that's accessed under option 2 from the main menu. And that is where I post things relevant to Nebraskan subscribers. I've recently added a new channel there, or a new section there, called... What did I call it? I think it's a sponsor announcements or something like that. But that is where I'm going to put announcements that aren't related to a specific organization or agency. So right now, the Omaha Public Library has a new program where they have technology in their different branches of libraries there in Omaha. So technology for the visually and the hearing impaired. And so I place that under that section because it really doesn't go with any of the others. So check out that under option 2 from the main menu. Okay, in November, we added so far, and then I just saw one more. So technically I've added 19, but I did just get a new email. So that's 20 new members in November already for 20 new subscribers. So far this month, which we're a little over halfway through. Well, when I did this report, actually, it was exactly halfway through. We had read, subscribers had read 10,083 minutes. The average call was 12.82. And the percentage of local calls was 51.19%.
I'm gonna ask.
What kind of calls?
Local calls.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. That's okay. The state newspapers were accessed 2,105 times, and I may have wrote this backwards, but I have that the TV listings were 104 times, and that the local channel was 228. But it seems like those may need to be reversed there. And then that ended up with a total subscriber base as of now, 1,562. Couple more quick highlights here. The search option under the telephone, or when accessing Newsline through the telephone, has been updated and kind of revamped, so it's a lot easier to do searches. You would press 0 from the main menu and then choose option number 4. And you can set up your parameters, and you can save searches and do a variety of things. It's called the global search feature, and it's what was available on the web for people that access Newsline via the web. So it's now available on the phone, which is very nice. Another thing that subscribers have always wanted to do and are now available to do this over the phone is to skip the welcome greeting. A lot of the subscribers that access Newsline on a regular basis know my contact information and know that information that's listed under the welcome greeting. So you'll first hear the national's welcome greeting, just saying, welcome to NFB Newsline. It'll ask you to log in by pressing 1 or 2 if there's more people in your household that have Newsline. And then it just goes straight to the main menu. But if subscribers ever need my phone number or the information that's listed in that welcome greeting, they would just find it under channel 2. Under the local channel, so that's kind of nice. If you haven't logged in for a while, you're still going to hear that welcome greeting, but once you log in again, then it'll just skip that greeting. In other news, the Kearney Hub has been experiencing some issues. Baltimore is aware of it, and we're working on it. So far, it's not been resolved, but the paper has just kind of seemed to disappear all of a sudden, so they are working on that. Also, there's a couple different sections in different papers that have disappeared lately, and this is kind of a national problem. They've had this problem in several newspapers across the country, so they're also working on that. Other than that, everything's going pretty good. That's what I have to report. Any questions?
Slide it down all the way.
Okay, it's off. Thank you. I am so excited that the Walmart ads are going to be on Newsline.
Hang on a minute.
It seems like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was trying to access those online, and they're in a flash player. So the Walmart ads are completely inaccessible, unless you, like, hire a reader or something.
Right.
So, and I called Walmart and asked them about it, and they were going to call me back. Yeah. So I'm excited. I can read the ads. I never thought I'd be excited to read advertisements. All right, and Jim has a question.
I will.
I guess I'm close enough to the mic. First of all, it's good, Jamie, that you're here in person. You ought to do this more often. I know transportation is always not an option. It's a hardship, and anytime you're here in person, it's good to see you. I mean that sincerely. I believe it was last year, I've slept since then, but I believe it was sometime last year that you had expressed a concern about, or somebody expressed a concern about telephone issues, telephone number, what have you, being used within the commission office, or somebody raised that concern. Do we know, has that been addressed yet? Oh, that's right, I got turned off. Go ahead.
That was last May when the meeting was in North Platte. I had kind of brought up the concern that the phone line was still in Lincoln, the 471-8102 number, and that at times that number ends up getting transferred to me in North Platte at my office as the orientation counselor, which is completely separate from this position. So we had kind of talked at one time about whose responsibility it really was to provide a phone number, if that was the commission's or if that was NFB of Nebraska or what the case may be. And Pearl and I were going to get together, and it just never really happened. So that's probably something that we should revisit again.
Is it still a concern for you?
I got to project.
Sorry. I don't know that I'd say it was a concern, but just a general comment. I still get a lot of calls, and maybe it's something that just needs to be communicated better through the commission. I still get a lot of calls at work for Newsline. So what I do is I take the information, the person's name and number, and call them when I'm not at work. So, it's just one of those things that people just know that I work there, and so, go ahead and call me on that number, but it may be something more that needs to be communicated to the actual commission employees. Okay.
All right. That's all I have. Okay. I turned it back on.
Where's the name?
This one is off.
I turned it off for her.
Thank you, Jamie. Do Nancy or Mike, do you have questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for showing up.
It's awesome to have you back.
Show up in February. We're in Omaha.
February in Omaha, is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as it's not on the 1st. It's an important date in my family. Little boy's birthday. So.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Our next item is the client assistance program, complaints or issues. And I think I heard earlier today that there are none. Is that
is correct.
Okay, we'll move on. We're making up time.
Well, I tell you, that was quick.
Okay, the next item is the update on the Randolph Shepherd program bids, or just a general update. It's kind of been an ongoing thing.
Okay, I'm going to have Carlos report on this while he's coming up here. I just want to mention to everybody there are three whole pizzas, I believe. So please do make your way quietly to the back or the front, whichever it is. If you want some more pizza, you're certainly welcome to it.
We should auction them off.
Yeah, we could auction them off. Okay, Carlos.
I'll take a piece. I'll take a box home with me.
Oh, the whole one we eat, whatever you want to tell us. I did skip, and my report had a lot of information about business enterprise, but I didn't read all that because I knew it was an agenda item. So whatever you
want to
share with the board.
Well, I might be asking you to read some because in the agenda I saw update on bids.
Oh, that's true. Sorry.
Right, so I only can let you know that the Zurinsky building was open for bids, but there were some miscommunication. The federal building, they are supposed to contact us when there is a new opening. When we contacted them back in August, they told us that it was going to be open in December. So the impression was we were going to be maybe waiting for it to contact us, but that was the impression some folks got. So there was some miscommunication and we missed the deadline. A bit. When we called them and asked them how come they didn't call us to let us know about that bid, they told us that particular building, the cafeteria, is considered commercial, and that therefore is we need to be looking for bids as any other private entity will look at. So we don't know for how many years that contract will be there. So that's one. The other one is the Lincoln Post Office buildings. We have been contacted by the postmaster want to give it to us, but he's kind of concerned that how can we just get in there? It's something new for him. So he contacted the main office in Omaha. The main office in Omaha don't know much about that. Anyhow, I talked to him again this past week, and according to him, maybe within 60 days, they will give us those locations, but I need to follow up on that. That's in regard to the bids, but then the stuff that
I can do more. Thank you, Carlos, for that information on bids. Any questions on the bids issues before we let Carlos go back?
Not on the bids, but on NBE.
Okay. All right. We might as well stay up here. Some of the things I have in my report, Carlos, Don, and three clients attended the BLAST conference the 7th of September. Highlights from that conference are that we need to have ongoing training, as our competitors in the private sector do, for ourselves, the commission staff, and also for the people that we supervise and for the blind managers themselves. Subway, at a national level, will waive the franchise fee for blind vendors. So that would clearly be an excellent opportunity for some folks. And I believe Carlos and his staff are looking into that. commercialization on the rest areas is a big issue. I can't remember if we've really talked about that in this meeting before. Nothing more has happened with the federal transportation bill, but I am in communication with Senator Johan's office. He's in that committee, and as it gets closer, or if it gets closer to being worked on by that committee, then either they'll contact me or I'll contact them so we can get into more of the details of those issues. We do not have a blind vendor for Hall County. That's been since September 30th. It just didn't make the place there, didn't have enough earnings to be of interest to any of our current vendors. So we're subcontracting for that with a company called Universal Vending. So it doesn't employ a blind manager, but it does bring funds. They still have to pay the set aside into the program to help buy new machines or whatever for existing vendors. There are some states, by the way, who do all of their, or nearly all of their, Randolph Shepherd sites through a non-blind vending company. We've limited that in the past, but we're doing that now, just with this one place. Carlos already talked about Zerinsky, Lincoln Post Offices. We did also submit a proposal at the end of September for the contract for vending machines at the Omaha State Office Building. We did not get that contract. Did that go to Pepsi again?
No.
Or, no.
No, the current ones were there.
Okay. That there had been an existing
canteen
and a vending company that had been operating the vending at the Omaha State Office Building, and they're the ones that got the continued contract. There was a Nebraska Business Enterprise training retreat September 30th and October 1st. The NBE staff put that together. They had really excellent speakers. It was attended by a very good number of our blind managers as well as some staff, and it was an excellent training. People were quite pleased with the outcome of that training. So we'll do a similar thing next year. Also, Don and Carlos met with Department of Roads to We're trying to work on renegotiating our contract with Rogues for the interstate rest stops. Let's see. I think Carlos mentioned earlier that the line manager, who actually is on it, he's in a training status, has been working on the Lincoln State Office Building lunchroom, and that's going quite well for him. But it also did just go out as a opportunity for existing vendors, because they always have vendors that are currently in the program and have seniority always have the chance for upward mobility if they want to bid on it, or, you know, say that they'd like to run an existing program or a new program. Tell me if I'm not making sense here. Hopefully that's clear. Also, we are working with two senators, mainly Senator Fulton and now Senator Avery. Avery's chair of the government committee. Well, the current state bill, first federal bill of Randolph-Shepard states that the Randolph-Shepard programs, like our NBE, have priority for federal buildings and properties. If we want to operate the vending at any federal building, we can. We have that right. In the state bill, which we kind of call a mini Randolph-Shepard, but it isn't quite, we have not priority, but rather preference if comparable. And that has run us into problems with, that's why we've lost to the bigger, the private companies in the last couple of rounds that we've lost. So we're trying to see if we can't change the state legislation. We're calling it the Jobs for the Blind bill, and typically the state agency doesn't get involved with legislation except where it's deals with something that the agency operates. So in this case with Randolph-Shepard, it's perfectly reasonable for the agency to be involved with working with senators to try to make a change.
I have a question about that.
Okay. I'm off.
Okay. I have a question in regard to the federal law and the state law and the conflict there. You said the federal law gives priority. Is that the word you used? And then the state law gives preference. Wouldn't the federal law supersede the state law?
That's what I would think.
So it makes...
I can answer.
Yeah, in my mind, it would. Yeah. The state law would be moot.
Yeah. I got a question, too. So
okay, hold on.
When you're done.
Okay. The thing is that the federal law is specific to federal property.
Oh, that makes sense.
Whereas the state law talks about state property. So... the state is not saying we don't have priority on federal property. Mm-hmm. They're just saying, because the federal law does not apply to state properties at all. So the state law is supposed to open up more opportunities for jobs for the blind. But the language actually doesn't work that well. Okay. Does that answer?
Yes.
All right, it's off. All right, you're going
to
turn your... I got to...
Let me know if you need to add...
All right, let me...
You have to turn it off.
Yeah, let me turn this on here. All right,
I think we're on. We're talking about vending, blind vending, and that's fine. We need to do this. And maybe it's my own ignorance, and if it is, I apologize in advance. I've been called a lot of things, including ignorant, but... The way I understand the blind vending program is it gives preferential treatment, obviously, to the blind. The question that was posed to me, and I don't know that I had a good answer, was if, and I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it, could this be considered sheltered employment? Because we're we're dealing with one specific group of individuals. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay, let me turn it off.
Okay.
And then I'll go.
I'll start it, and then I'll hand it to Carlos. That's actually been a controversy that you'll hear at the national levels, and there are some people who consider it to be sheltered, but it really isn't in other ways in terms of the managers do independently manage their facilities, and they do determine their own pricing and marketing and just everything that an independent business person would be responsible for, the blind vendor is. And so also can make tremendous amounts of money. So that's a key difference. I'm sure that's not a full description, and I'd like to let Carlos speak to that as well.
I do have one. Okay. No, I'm fine. I don't need a microphone. You know, I think everybody can hear me. I don't need a microphone.
Let's ask.
The recording needs a mic.
All right. The my one quick question was, earlier in the report that Pearl gave earlier today in her director's report, she mentioned that money was given, or some of the money was stimulus money that we'd gotten back, some of the reallocated money, that's the term, reallocated money, was given to the NBE program for their use. I think it was $50,000 to $60,000 worth, and I was just wondering what that had gone towards.
Yours off.
Yes, Julie, turn it off.
Okay, that hasn't gone yet, I believe, but it will be purchasing replacement equipment, vending machines, or in some cases, some new equipment that some of the managers wanted, but we kind of said, well, we can't afford them yet.
Okay.
So, and also, you mixed the ERA / stimulus with reallotment. Those are definitely two separate pots of funding.
Right. So we had RSA reallotment,
yes.
and we had ERA stimulus funds.
Yes.
There was never an ERA reallotment.
Correct.
Okay.
And we also got Social Security reimbursement funding. That's extra funds we got. So they try to just keep us confused, and they do a good job.
Were you going to add something else, Carlos, about our NBE program?
Just to clarify about the universal training.
Thank you.
Yes, Pearl mentioned that the host county, Hull County, we don't have a vendor there. We used to have a vendor there, but they were having difficulties, and some buildings were way apart, and they were not making enough money. And we had problems last year, meaning that we couldn't find a vendor there. So when we offered it to vendors, basically we couldn't find any, but we got this opportunity in which a private sector can run those operations, and will pay us a percentage, and that percentage will be used for the MBE program. Now in Lincoln, if we are able to get the post offices, a similar situation will happen, because we already asked the vendors and nobody wants to run it, because the buildings are in separate parts from the city, and there are only two machines in each building, and that means that they will have to use all their profits to pay a driver and gas. We offer it also to some clients, and it's not profitable for blind people, but for these companies, because they deal with, that's what they do all the time, they want to do it, and that will mean some income to the business enterprise program. Now, I don't want people to think that, wow, the business enterprise program is getting money. the Randolph Shepherd program is a mandate program which tells every state agency that if we want to do, we should do it. But they don't give any money to us. So we need to find ways to run that program.
That's all.
Any other questions?
No.
Public comments.
Okay, there's no more questions from commissioners about Randolph Shepherd items. So we'll move on to our next agenda item, which is public comment. So who would like to speak?
Anybody?
All you guys.
Come on, somebody speak.
Nobody wants to say anything?
Nobody will speak. Carlos Blanca has
some comments. Okay, there's more pizza.
Carlos, there's more pizza.
Come on, guys, speak.
That's Carlos a really Blanca. Strange name.
Anybody besides Carlos want to
Mark
say something?
Holder.
Mark, and I, was there somebody else? I'm sorry, I thought I heard you. Okay, well, we'll listen to Carlos and then to Mark.
Yeah, Toro mentioned earlier in your report that we have a teleconference with the RSA monitoring workers. And we took a look at the numbers from the Nebraska Commission for the Blind compared to other similar agencies for the blind across the country. And it was kind of interesting seeing those numbers from the federal government. They focus on transition, and they look at our numbers and they see that we have around 33% referrals from our clients coming from a transition, meaning they come from the public schools or just transition age, which the other states, the average is, I think, 20%, so we're way higher there. The other statistic was that our clients, the ones with successful employment, have better benefits and better wages, but also benefits in regards to vacation time and insurance. And that tells us about the quality of jobs. The other one that we were very high, was comparing the wages, not just with blind people, but with the average population in the state. So we were also high there. Then the recidivism percentage, I think that's how you pronounce it. The other states have around 25% recidivism, and we only have like 4%. So that also tells the quality of the training center and the training that we provide in general. The other one was that we spend more money on our clients, especially on maintenance. And the explanation is, well, we don't call it expend, but invest. And we also look at some of the numbers for the Social Security reimbursements, which means that we are getting, out of those states that they were comparing with us, five of them, in the last 5 years, we got like $2,300,000 reimbursement. And the next state who follow us only got $800,000. Wow. So almost 3 times less than we did. So that gives, I guess, the type of quality of jobs that we have. But then they also wanted to question us, and they say, well, what concerns us, they said, is that you guys have only an average of 4 placements for counselor, and the other states have like 17 placements for each counselor.
Per year?
Per year, right. Yeah. But what we told them is, yeah, that might look bad on our numbers, but if you look at the overall performance, we have more placements, better wages, better recidivism rate, better insurance, better benefits. So they were pleased with our numbers, and I was very proud too of the job our counselor do.
That's part of the committee too.
Yeah.
That's
all
I want
to say.
Mark.
Thank
you.
And Mark.
I'm so sorry.
Obviously, this mic on
is
Mark's.
Thank you, Mark Bolger from Omaha. I've got kind of a good segue, Carlos, but my question had to do with the RSA and the report card that they do, and everything that Carlos said was absolutely true. For those that aren't familiar with the RSA, they judge on 9 criteria, is it? And it has to do with, like what Carlos had said, the amount of money that the people make, and that's a good thing. We need to be very proud of that. At the last meeting, I was kind of challenged to compare the results of Nebraska to Missouri. And, you know, that's hard to do. How do you quantify something like that? So I thought, well, you know how the kids do it. They compare report cards, you know, on how they're doing.
Right.
And so I just doing some searches. I found the RSA report cards, which are a matter of public record. And of the 9 criteria for Nebraska, we had a yes of 5 out of the 9 for 2009 and 2010. And then we had 4 no's. And the 4 no's were, I believe, had to do with, and Pearl, correct me if I'm wrong, but it had to do with, you know, expanding services, growing services to, like, new clients and independent living clients. It also had to do with attracting minorities. And we, I think that we've been falling short, but that's an area we haven't scored as well. And I compare that to say, Nebraska's portion of the blind is separate from the other disabilities. And the other disabilities scored 9 out of 9 for the last 2 years. And then I compared that to Missouri. And Missouri scored 9 out of 9 and 8 out of 9. So I don't want to dispute, you know, the people that we are serving well. However, we need, the incidences of blindness is increasing. And I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to find fault. What I'm trying to say is, how do we improve the success story to more clients? You know, and that's the goal is if a school just said, well, we have, you know, 20% of our kids that go to college and they do very well, and then they don't tell you about the other 80%, then we fail them all. So I hope that we continue not to just pat ourselves on the back for the good results, but when the incidence of blindness go on and multiple disabilities, it's my hope that there's a continuously an increase in the demand for services. And if there's not, we need to either promote it or say, are we not attracting people and why? So that's my point, but thank you.
Thank you.
Can I speak to that?
Yeah.
This is Girl. Thank you, Mark. The RSA report card, actually, they were telling us the other day that they look at, I want to say 111 data elements, something like that. So it's really very extensive. On the point of attracting minorities to the agency, that one is, it's one of the standards on the standards and indicators. And the way that it reads is if there are less than a 100, an actual count of 100, clients with from a minority background, that the state is considered as not passing. It doesn't, I mean, irregardless of whether that the number of, let's say, 99 or whatever is representative of the proportion of people with minorities in a state. Well, I'm sure you all know Nebraska is a very white-dominated state. We're seeing a definite increase in people with Hispanic backgrounds, but still, we are, the actual proportion in the state are, the numbers we serve are comparable to what that 100 is, but it's less than 100 because our population overall is smaller. So then the next step to, okay, if you're less than 100, you have to have in place a system to make sure that you are communicating, making sure people of minorities know about the services and they're not just, you know, discriminated from and things like that. So we have a pretty extensive system. Each office has a whole list of contacts that they will make every year. Sometimes some of them are every month, some are quarterly. It's all laid out of what is expected so that we're communicating with the reservations and the communities and everything statewide. And then that's reported to Bob Beaton, who goes through it quarterly, I think, and certainly annually to make sure that it is all current, that the districts are doing those outreaches that we need to do so that we can make sure we reach those communities. Thank you. Julie said yes. It's just for me to answer.
She's very good.
When I went to the conference a while ago in the Midwest, the director of the Missouri agency was there. And one of the things that they were doing is opening a lot of cases, and many agencies do that. For instance, what they do is, okay, we have here how many blind people who are working and they are not clients. We will offer you to buy you a new computer. Chances are you will say, oh, sure. We will open your case, buy you a new computer, keep you open for 90 days, close your case, and we will be saying a successful closure. So they were playing with the numbers, but that's not what we do. That's why we look at the quality of jobs, social security reimbursement, and recidivism. So that's what I wanted to emphasize there.
And I do, in some of the email exchanges, at some point the question was raised about what's wrong with people coming back for services. I want to make it very clear to everyone that a person who is eligible for our services, if they have a new need in the future, absolutely they have every right to come back. We will happily provide services to that person. When we talk about this issue, really our emphasis is that we try to provide you with the rehabilitation and training that is going to stand you well throughout your life. And if you need more later, that's fine. So it's not that we don't make people eligible again, but definitely we do not do those practices that Carlos just talked about that actually are quite common in other agencies in order to increase their numbers. That's what we're trying to get at with this point.
Are there any, first of all, are there questions from commissioners about that? Okay. Are there other public comments?
No. One door. Okay. Would like to make a comment.
Okay. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Okay. We'll go ahead and take this one, and then I think we'll move on to the next agenda item.
Back up here?
Yes.
Okay. My comment is to Pearl and to Bob Deep. I guess I'm about the oldest one around here. So, and I know what I have valued a lot is the older blind conventions that we have. My question is to Bob is, why are you only doing it to new clients? What's going to happen to the olders? You don't learn everything in 3 days.
Well,
If Bob's going to answer, could you give the microphone to him?
Okay.
The clients that we would be inviting would be first-time attendees. They would be, in fact, clients who are being served in a more comprehensive program. So I would say the majority, if not all, I'm not sure there would be, I would say that very close to everyone, if not all, will, in fact, be involved in some kind of training at home. So you're right, and that's not the purpose of the conference. It's not skill training, but it is kind of a spectrum of what people need to be as independent as possible. Some of that involves skills, some of that involves use of resources, public awareness of community resources. Some of it involves personal attitude, self-esteem, that sort of thing. Relationship, and we try to address anything that will be useful information when people go home. So it's not in any way going to replace training. And also I do agree, I think I said this earlier, that there's no doubt that conventions, conferences are beneficial to people regardless of how many times they come. I think the main reason why we're not going to that open-ended type of conference this time is simply the commitment of time. It's not financial either. You know, I think we have the financial resources to do a conference like we did in 2010. No, that's not the the thing that determined our decision to go there. It's more how what is the responsible commitment to make in terms of our time. The amount of time that was involved as far as everyone in the field, especially the center staff, were also very important too as far as providing support during the convention. But it just proved to be much more labor intensive than we thought it was going to be. And this was a subject that was not made easy. This was something that we kind of agonized over and kind of went back and forth, through several discussions. But we finally understood that we would be going this way. Because there's no doubt there are needs that are important, and but we simply don't have the staff, we don't have the capacity to maybe do all the things we would like to do. You know, certainly if we could do something like the 2010 conference, I think you would find a lot of support for that within the commission.
Another thing that I'd like to ask you, Bob, is
you need the mic.
That couldn't afford it, you couldn't have anybody pay a registration fee because your folks wouldn't do it. Why can't you not have the registration, take the money and put it into your treasure? And more people could come that way. And they would get more out of it if they had it like the Fifth used to do. $35 or $45 to register for the 3 days, which covered everything. But that money wasn't given to the hotel with all these checks. That was put into our treasure, and we wrote one big check for this place. But so why is it so difficult to have a registration fee?
I'll answer that one.
Do you have to turn that? Hang on.
Is that mic off?
Not yet.
Sorry, I'm going to interrupt and override. I'd like to answer that one. In my mind, it's an ethical issue. We can't charge clients for services. Maybe we can. I don't think it's right to charge clients for services. And, you know,
then why not run it through the VIPS again? Why not give the money that you're spending? Because they did it. And they had the conference, and the staff helped with it up until the last year, I guess. I wasn't at that one. But we had the registration fee, and the money, there was so much money given to the VIPS in order to have the program, and our funds were cut off, so the VIPS, are, maybe there's two or three groups still around, I don't know.
22, I think. I just went to a meeting Wednesday, and that's what my local VIPS leader said, because he's doing another project for the Lions Club, and he's compiling all those contact informations for any kind of blindness-related, visual impairment-related service in Nebraska. So, yeah, there still are quite a few active VIPS groups. And if a conference is important to VIPS, I say go for it. You know, that would be awesome.
Well, I just from experience of talking to the elderly, I have found out that they... people from way out state Nebraska have met people from Omaha and Lincoln, and I have relatives all over Nebraska because I come from a large family. But and they all talk about how their mothers or their grandmothers enjoyed it so much. Well, they've been there once, so they're not going to get to come back and enjoy that again.
Right.
And I think our population is our blind population. There's more visually impaired elderly people out there than almost than there is young people. And all I've heard today is all the help for the younger group.
Okay.
And there's no help for the elderly.
Well, and there's reasons for that. And I think maybe Pearl would be best. Because the core responsibility of the agency is to provide rehabilitation services for the ultimate goal of people becoming employed. So there are limited funds for people that are in an independent living tract. And you know, yeah, it is unfortunate. I mean, but that's honestly, that's the way it is.
Could I speak?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What Julie just said is a fact, and it's not that it's our goal that's different or our priority as an agency, but the agency exists because of funding from the Rehab Act, as amended a number of times over the years. The Rehab Act is an employment program. It is funding to get people working. And in this state, we, regardless of age, if you want to go to work, you know, we don't just stop it at a quote retirement age, because a lot of Nebraskans work. But the truth is, it's not that we, the agency, do or don't want to work with seniors, but the federal funding, which is 80 to 90% of the funding for the agency, says, here's what this money is for. I'll give you these dollars, you put people to work. So that is what the Rehab Act is.
But you also get a grant for the elderly, too.
We do get a grant for the elderly. It's much smaller, and we actually we stretch it quite, you know, as far as we can, and it's mostly providing the direct services. We use our older blind grant to pay our staff to provide that direct teaching and counseling to older blind individuals across the state.
I just want to stand up for these older people. I don't care for myself, but I do care for some of them that are out there that are, well, really feel that they're the only people in this whole world that's blind. Right. And I've been blind since I was 27, so it doesn't matter to me. I know I'm not the only one. Yes, Bob.
Would it be that way every year or just this year because you don't have the money?
Well, again, is it all right if I just, okay, and Bob's trying to make a comment as well, but a question in the background was, would it be just this way, just this year, because you don't have the money? The fact is, we have some more money this year. the decision was not based on financial. It's based on the capacity of our staff with their other jobs, their overall caseloads, the work they need to do with their normal job or their existing job, as opposed to the extra time it takes to be away from those duties. So, Bob, what do you want to...
Yes, I have some.
Just a minute.
Hang on.
Thank you, Paul. You stated part of what I was going to say. But beyond that, Benny was making her point on, it's absolutely true. The need is there, and we do recognize the need. But right now, we find that to be a challenge in terms of what the funding structure is right now and the staff we're working with. But what we can do about it is make sure that our legislators are aware that the need is not being met. There's a huge unmet service population out there, you know. And thanks to the support that we've gotten from consumers, we did find additional support beyond what the federal government has given us, enough for us to hire two dedicated staff that work only with the older line. Those are two conditions that we would not have had working with older blind people had it not been for state funds. You know, so I think that needs to be said, because that's entirely state funds. There's no federal money that goes into their salaries or benefits. Now, this last 2-year budget period that we were looking at finishing here, that we did not ask for additional money. I was wanting to do that because I still think we could add more staff. If we had more funding, we could hire more staff and serve more older people, you know. And the economy being what it was, you know, I think we all know that there is a national crisis. And also the atmosphere in the unicameral here in Nebraska was such that it didn't seem like a good idea to go in and ask for more money when the discussion was more how can we cut the funding to existing services. So in the future, however, I do think that there will be times when we will want to revisit that whole thing, and we may be asking consumers to come forward again and advocate for expanded services. Because I think there is that need, and I think legislators do listen. They have listened, and I think they'll be responsive in the future.
Yeah.
Thanks. Just one final comment is we couldn't agree with you more, Lenny. We really, clearly, I mean, we've done more in this state than to serve older blind than most agencies. And I know it sounds like we just keep patting ourselves on the back, but it's true, you know? And it's because from when I started with this agency in 1978 or 9, it was specifically to work with senior blind, because at that time there were no funds for older blind. So, you know, it really has been a priority for us. We continue to try to do the best, and we do agree with you. It's a huge need.
Well, I really feel that the VIP was one of the best programs that they ever had out there. I really do. And it's a shame that their funds were cut. Because I really feel that there was, just from the few times that I went, I heard people, and like I said, I don't need the services. I honestly don't anymore. But the comment was from so many of them in all the different groups that I gathered with, was, you know, I just never realized how easy it was to be blind, and when I see all these other people doing all the things I did. And I really feel that the older people really and truly need this companionship with each other. Now, me, I like to associate with these young sprouts, I can. Okay. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you.
We're off.
Thank you.
We just have a few more things, and then we're going to be done. It's getting close. Yeah. Okay, our next agenda item is, I don't know what the word is.
Discuss and act on parliamentary procedure regarding parliamentarian for NCBVI board meetings. What it was is there was a question last time.
In my notes, I just wrote parliamentarian. So, okay. You know, that's really descriptive.
If you want me to take it, I can.
Last time, Howard Compton asked a question of, with our going to Robert's Rules of Order, were we appointing a parliamentarian and who was that? And I'm pretty new to Robert's Rules of Order. So Mike was supposed to, well, not supposed to, he did, researched whether we need that, what that person is supposed to do, those kinds of things. And so I'm going to let him talk briefly about that.
Hey.
And then we will make a decision.
Well, I mean, I guess I went back and I looked at the actual rules, and there it talks about having a parliamentarian. It is a choice. If you wish to appoint one, you can. That person is only a resource. The control of the meeting, is still the power of presiding over the meeting is still held by the chairperson, and so they use that person as a resource whenever there's a question about parliamentary procedure, but there is no requirement for a parliamentarian. So it would be up to the board if we wish to appoint someone. If we do, great. If not, there's not a requirement to.
Sorry about the shovel. Okay, is there discussion? No discussion, okay. My opinion on the parliamentarian is that I've always gone to Kathy with questions that I've had about procedural issues, and I don't feel any need that we need to formalize that. I'm fine with asking Kathy without the title of parliamentarian. So
I think that's what we said last month in time.
Are we?
I'm fine with it.
I agree with that too.
Okay.
Until there's a need to change it, I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. Well, then I guess our action is to keep with what we've been doing.
Excuse me.
Yes.
The next item is not related to parliamentarian. It's discuss and act on the version of Robert's Rules.
Correct.
That's another question.
Yes.
What version we were going to be using for the board.
Okay. Right. Okay, so we're done. We're all happy with the parliamentarian.
Yeah, I can
go. Okay, we're good.
All
right, so then our next agenda item is what Pearl was just reminding me, is the version of Robert's Rules of Order. I have, by this point, lost track of where we were at. I believe
Mike did research.
I can talk about it here real quick.
Go ahead.
All right, so as we've been working through this, a little bit at a time at each meeting, and last time we began the process of, you know, just adopting Robert's Rules of Order, there was a discussion, this is kind of a two-part thing, there was a discussion about adopting Robert's Rules of Order and saying whatever the current version is what we're going to use, and there was a discussion and a vote saying we didn't want to do that because we wanted to be conscious of when the rules that we functioned under changed, instead of having them just change if we were unaware of a new edition being published. So we wanted it to be a conscious decision. So we decided not to do it that way, that we would adopt a specific version. And then the coincidence is that they come out with a new version about once a decade. And they were in the process of publishing it at our last meeting. And so when we've been talking about this the last two or three meetings, they have been on edition 10, and as of October-ish, right, I think the publication date is late September, early October sometime, they came out with edition 11. And in the last week, I've obtained a copy of edition 11. I have compiled a list of the changes between Edition 10 and Edition 11, and not to bore all of you guys with what those are, I sent those out as an email to these guys just to, so that they were conscious of what they are. If you guys would like to see them, go to robertsrules.com, and they have a link that you can read what all the changes are. And it would be my recommendation that we as a board just glance at that, and then next meeting, just make the final vote. Do you want to go with version 11? At this point, I believe we're already voted in version 10. So it's just a matter of whether or not we're going to jump up to the next edition.
Okay, is there discussion?
No. Nope. Julie? Yeah, I'm going to hand you the mic, I guess. Thanks.
I was one of these ones that was in favor of jumping up to 11 because... just because I think, I don't remember, I'm just going by what Kathy said, that 11 supposedly governed email communication.
Absolutely.
Supposedly. I haven't, you know, I read your email and that's fine, but I'm going to be very blunt. I think we've discussed this thing to death, and I think we need to make a decision and stick with it. Therefore, I'm not going to advocate we go with 11. I'm going to make the motion we stick with 10 and be done with it.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Okay, that's fine.
Okay,
Donna is still.
There's not a second.
All right.
So
we put it on temporary agenda.
So we currently have version 10 anyway.
Yep.
So we really don't need your motion to have 10.
Correct.
So we're content with 10. We don't want to move to 11.
I want
to
be done with it. Let's just stay with 10.
Okay.
Drag it on long enough.
That's our decision. Stick with what we've already decided. Okay. Then that concludes old business. We'll move on to new business. And the only new business that we have is to plan our upcoming meetings, dates, times, and locations. We've discussed this a little bit through email, and I'm going to propose that we go with the first Saturday of February, May, August, and November.
Yep.
Which are the dates that were the Pearl proposed.
Okay.
I agree.
February
1st.
Okay. Everybody
that is here? Not February 1st, but the first Saturday of those months?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have made that more clear. Yeah. We always meet on Saturday. So it would be the first Saturday in February, the first Saturday in May, August, and November.
Of 2012.
Of 2012, yes. Locations.
Omaha, Kearney, Scotts Bluff, and Lincoln.
Scotts Bluff.
We owe it to that part of the state.
I'd agree.
So you're saying Scotts Bluff in August?
Omaha, Kearney, Scotts Bluff in August. Omaha, Kearney, Scotts Bluff, and Lincoln in that order.
Okay. Nancy?
Other than the fact that last May, I know we went to North
Platte. Excuse me, you're not. Wait. We need. Sorry. Yeah. It might be easier to move that one around than
it
just
is.
Just turn that one off. Or we can.
But we need to keep this.
There we go. Turn that one off.
Give that to Nancy.
Is it on?
Audible.
On?
No.
It's
off.
Yeah. It's on now.
That one is. Okay.
Well, other than the fact that back last May we went to North Platte, I would have, you know, said North Platte too, but. And I really don't feel like there were, you know, we went to Norfolk last year too. So I guess I have to agree with those.
We did not go to North Platte last year.
No, that was 2009.
Okay. So Jamie last year we went, just remind us, Kathy, last May we went to Norfolk, and in August we went to York.
That's correct. Thank you. So I would propose North Platte instead of Scotts Bluff. Okay. I still say we owe it to that part of the state to go west. Scotts Bluff. I'm going to stick with Scotts Bluff.
Okay.
B.
I have a question. What about North Platte in May rather than Kearney?
I don't. That's fine. I can live with that.
You're saying North Platte and Scotts Bluff.
Right. Omaha, North Platte, Scotts Bluff, Lincoln.
I can live with that.
Let me ask something. We've been. I'm not remembering my. I'm failing my Nebraska geography.
So am I.
Okay. So Chadron would be north of North Platte. Well, it's Scotts Bluff is much further west, is there people that we're missing? That have we ever been up to the Chadron area, like where Chadron State College is, and so on up there? Are there people we're going to be able to get up towards if we go that way that we haven't had given access to a meeting before?
Can I throw another suggestion?
Right ahead.
Pass the thing.
Another suggestion is because, you know, I know we go to Lincoln and we go to Omaha, but there's another place we've gone to before that's even further east, South Sioux City.
That's true.
Okay. I'm not proposing, I'm just saying. Throwing it in.
So what do we do? Put them all in a hat and draw?
No, let's just do Omaha, North Platte, Scotts Bluff, and Lincoln.
I'm fine with what Jim said. I just...
What, North Platte or Kearney?
For me, I will be there wherever you decide, you know, borrowing being in the hospital or something.
I'm fine with Scotts Bluff and
the
Kearney.
Chaos, barring chaos, I will be wherever it is.
So Omaha, Kearney, Scotts Bluff, and Lincoln was the proposal.
That's my proposal. I suggested it by email, so.
Okay, so we're all Kearney and Scotts Bluff for our...
May and August.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Do I dare ask about focus topics?
I have one.
No.
Okay, Mike is one.
I have one. I don't... We have talked about youth programs in the past, but we have not. I don't believe we have talked about the transition program, the transition process as a whole. I mean, we've talked about wages and tabs and gate and so on as those individual programs, but I don't think we've talked about transition services. And so that would be the topic I would suggest.
No. Just since that's one of the major emphases of the 2012 monitoring, it makes perfect sense. That'd be a good one for February.
That's what I thought.
Oh.
Okay.
Perhaps that would actually be another good topic. Focus topic would be the RSA review, possibly for February, and then the transition one be another. Since we do the Pearl's review in May, then the transition one could be August or November.
We could do it.
Okay.
RSA?
RSA February, Executive Director review May, transition process August. Is that enough? Do you guys want to have a thought for
We don't have to have a fourth one right now. We can come up with it later.
Don't.
Okay. No. Would it make sense? Anyone ask? Okay. Do I need the mic?
Sure.
Would it make sense to do a transition in November since we're not that far out? Would it make sense to do that in November, that transition, and since we're way out west in August, given the fact that some folks may not show up? Just a question is all.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just asking the question.
We're going to be out west regardless of what the topic is.
I know that. I just wanted to ask the question.
Julie?
Yes.
I think it would make... It might make sense to do the transition in November due to that some of our dedicated staff is actually housed in Lincoln. They would probably be called upon to do some of the presentation.
That's why I was calling.
Do we have transition staff anymore?
Amy Burrish.
No.
I thought she was. That was her.
No. She may have a focus, but she's not a transition counselor anymore.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's enough focus topics.
chew on right now.
Just to clarify, RSA review in February, the executive director performance eval in May, and transition process in August, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, and I want to, since we've gone through some more things since last public comment, I want to give anyone that hasn't had a chance to speak that is dying to say something that opportunity before we end the meeting. So is there anybody that wants to say something?
Speak now.
All right, then. Yes.
Bobby.
Is that Bob Beaton?
You're asking public comment here?
Yes.
He's spoken already.
Okay, can I take, wait a second, please.
Okay, I just want to say, you know, with the public, with the focus topic, you know, I'm kind of struggling with this. You know, the youth program for, certainly part of the transition program, the RSA monitoring thing is coming up. A huge part of that, you know, at least a third of that review is going to be on strictly transition and not other services. To avoid redundancy, having to do another meeting during the transition, I'm struggling to even know how to do that without repeating much of what was said in prior meetings with a fairly recent past, actually, by that point. So I just want to bring that forward. Unless you want to, you can help me out and define transition more so we're just not covering the same ground.
That was your idea. He's got a point.
That's
my idea.
Bob, I guess when I said transition, I appreciate your feedback because I don't know how much of the RSA process review process is transition. So that makes a lot of sense. When I'm thinking of transition, the things that I'm interested in, because we've already covered things like the youth programs, is the process, the relationships between schools, between the process that's going on as the students are transitioning from the school programs into our program, so the process outside of the actual gate or tabs or whatever, maybe there isn't much,
and that's what I
thought. Made, so
that's what I thought, and I did look at the. Maybe I should have that.
No, yeah. I'm not going to go back. Go ahead.
I did look at the monitoring guide, and there are 64 questions on there, all specific to the process involved in transition services. None of them have to do with the program, the special programs that we covered last fall. But
if
they do.
Bob, this is what I'm going to propose because I think it'll save a lot of time and it will be the best thing. I'm going to say, let's talk about RSA in February, and if we feel like, yes, we've covered transition, then we'll just come up with a new focus topic. I mean, August is a long ways off. We have plenty of time to
absolutely.
Do that. So,
good idea.
That's why she's chair, folks.
Yeah. That's right.
That nobody wants it.
Yeah. Okay, so hearing no other public comments, I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for coming.
All right. Good job.